Let's talk about stories. Not TikToks or tweets, but the deeper kind. The ones that live under the skin. That shape how we talk, what we chase, who we try to become. Because masculinity isn't just behavior, it's narrative. And some of those narratives are older than language. The manosphere doesn't invent new myths, it repackages old ones. It dresses them in suits, cars, and catchphrases. But the bones are ancient. The warrior, the king, the lone wolf, the chosen one, the alpha. They're not just metaphors, they're costumes. And each one promises, if you wear me well enough, you'll finally be safe. Let's start with the warrior. He fights, he conquers, he never doubts. He is forging adversity, but he always emerges victorious. His emotions are blades, not burdens. His value is proven through battle. And if no battle exists, he'll create one. Because peace feels like having no purpose. Then there's the king. He rules, commands, provides. He is power and poise. Stoic, decisive, above. Others revolve around him. And in return, he protects the order. But protection can become control. And control, obsession. The king archetype, when corrupted, doesn't lead. He demands loyalty, not respect, obedience. There's also the alpha, a more recent mutation. Biology meets branding. He's not just dominant, he's desirable. He wins in wealth, sex, status. He doesn't chase, he attracts. But underneath the posture is often scarcity, a constant need to prove, to never be second. The alpha can't rest, because someone's always watching. Then there's the sigma, the outsider, cool, detached, mysterious. He doesn't compete, he transcends. He walks alone, above the hierarchy, beyond the rules. It sounds spiritual, but often it's isolation dressed as independence. A man who got tired of losing the game, so he claims to have outgrown it. What do all these archetypes have in common? They don't just describe men, they rank them. They create ladders, tiers, castes. And in every ladder, someone is above you, someone is beneath you. And your worth is determined by how many rungs you can climb before collapsing. Archetypes aren't inherently toxic. They're tools, symbols, shortcuts for understanding the human psyche. But when they harden into expectations, they stop liberating us and start limiting us. They turn possibility into performance. The manosphere loves archetypes because they offer clarity, identity, a framework. You're not confused. You're a Sigma male. You're not hurt. You're rising into your king era. The myth gives you language, but language is not healing, not on its own. The danger is this. You start to believe the myth more than your own experience. You perform the warrior while falling apart inside. You pretend to be the alpha while drowning in anxiety. And when your pain doesn't fit the archetype, you don't question the myth, you question yourself. This is where shame sets in. Not because you failed, but because you failed to measure up to something that was never real. The myth becomes a mirror, and it shows you someone else. Someone stronger, cooler, unbothered. You want to be that man so badly that you silence the one you actually are. But myths always had shadows. In every king, there's a tyrant. In every warrior, a destroyer. In every lone wolf, a wounded boy who didn't get what he needed, so he taught himself to need nothing. The manosphere doesn't talk about those shadows. It glorifies the surface, edits out the cost. Let's go deeper. Why are men so drawn to myth right now? because modern life feels thin, disenchanted, fragmented. The rituals are gone, the roles are vague, and in the absence of structure, we search for symbols. Myths feel sacred, even when they're simplified. But sacred things require stewardship. They're not meant to be copied. They're meant to be contemplated. You don't become a warrior by acting tough. You become one by knowing what's worth fighting for. You don't become a king by commanding others. You become one by mastering yourself. The myth is a starting point, not a destination. So ask yourself, what archetype have you tried to live up to? And what did it cost you? What part of you had to die to keep wearing that mask? Because myth can guide us, but it can also imprison us. And maybe freedom begins not in breaking the myth, but in choosing which parts to keep. Let's talk about initiation, because one of the deepest functions of myth was to guide people through transformation, to mark a passage, to separate the boy from the man, not through domination, but through ordeal, reflection, return. In traditional cultures, this was ritual, sacred, communal. You were witnessed, held, changed. Now, you're just expected to man up. No ceremony, no roadmap, no welcome. The manosphere tries to fill that gap. It offers its own version of initiation, cold showers, hustle culture, sexual conquests, emotional detachment, a constant sharpening of edges. But there's no return, no integration. You stay in the proving ground, forever leveling up, forever trying to become worthy of a father figure that never shows up. In myth, the hero eventually returns home, wiser, softer, whole. But in the manosphere, there's no home to return to, only more battles, more grinding, more masks to wear. You become a warrior with no war, a king with no kingdom, a sigma in exile. You're not transforming, you're looping. And in that loop, there's no room for the full self. Where is the artist, the healer, the nurturer, the man who creates beauty instead of just pursuing dominance? He's not banished, he's erased, mocked, called beta, as if tenderness was treason. But real archetypes contain contradictions. A true king mourns. A true warrior knows mercy. A true leader listens more than he speaks. You're allowed to hold strength and sorrow in the same hand. You're allowed to be decisive and uncertain, protective and vulnerable, firm and kind. The myth is not one thing. You were never meant to be either. The problem is when myth becomes branding, when it's flattened into marketable identities, sold back to you as courses, slogans, aesthetics. The high-value man, the unbreakable male, the real alpha. It's mythology turned merchandise, power without depth, symbols without soul. You don't embody the story, you subscribe to it. And in subscribing, you often lose your story, your real one, with all its uncertainty, contradiction, unfinished pages. You trade it in for something cleaner, sharper, more cinematic. A story that edits out your fear, your grief, your longing to be loved without performing. But a clean story is rarely a true one. Here's the quiet truth. Most men aren't trying to dominate the world. They're just trying not to disappear inside it. They don't want to be alpha. They just want to be seen, respected, known, allowed to take off the armor, without losing the room. The myth says, become invincible, but real connection says, become visible. So where do we go from here? Not backward, not to the mythless void, but forward, into a new relationship with story. One where you can borrow the strength of the warrior without becoming violent. One where you can admire the king without seeking control. One where your growth doesn't require another man's defeat. Because myth, at its best, isn't a cage. It's a compass. It doesn't tell you who to be. It helps you return to who you already are. And maybe the myth we need now isn't the man who conquers, but the man who listens, the man who creates space, the man who carries his story with reverence, not performance. You are not a brand. You are not a content stream. You are not a role to play for strangers on the internet. You are a story still being written. And that story will never fit cleanly into one archetype. It's too strange, too sacred, too real. And that's what makes it yours. So begin to notice, when do you speak like a myth? When do you act from an idea of who you're supposed to be instead of who you actually are? And when do you silence something true because it doesn't match the costume? Those moments are gold. That's where the transformation lives. There's nothing wrong with admiring strength, with wanting to be grounded, purposeful, noble. But those aren't identities, they're practices. You don't earn them by watching reels. You earn them by staying present in hard conversations, by telling the truth, even when it costs you, by choosing love when ego screams for control. Masculinity isn't a myth to master. It's a path to walk, and you'll walk it clumsily, awkwardly, imperfectly. But maybe that's the most honest myth of all. The man who keeps showing up, not because he's certain, but because he's willing to keep learning, even when no one's watching. In the next segment, we'll ask, what happens when men begin to question the script? When they step away from the tribe? When they risk exile in pursuit of something more honest? Because myth gives us a shape, but leaving the myth, that takes courage. We'll talk about dissent, defection, and doubt, and the quiet, dangerous act of saying, I don't believe this anymore.